For our churches for this year? Stepping beyond the fence. Well done. How do you remember that? What? I must have. So with the theme for the year, there's a verse. What's the verse? Where's that from? John 15. Thank you, Louise. I thought no one would remember. Obviously it's here. What we're focusing on is we will bear much fruit. How do we go beyond where we're comfortable? How do we go beyond our fences to be able to find, to connect with people and to talk about God? What I want to do over the next few weeks is to look at this part. If you remain in me and I in you. Now, Jesus says that he will remain in us. God will remain in us. That's a given. That's not an option. God will be in us. God will remain in us. So the first part is, if you remain in me, if we remain in God, other translation says, abide in me. So what I want to do is to look at over the next few weeks, what does it mean to abide in God? What does it mean to remain in God? Now, as I know you all look at me, there's many words that come to mind. The first one is athlete. No. Belly diving is a sport. Darts is a sport. I am an athlete. Athletics is really helpful. Athletics is really important. And the thing that we'll find, one of the key things about being a good athlete is discipline. We need to have discipline. We need to be focused. We need to be connected. And so what I want to do is to look at what it means to be an athlete, what it means to be disciplined, to chase after what God has for us, to chase after bearing much fruit, to chase after being connected and abiding with God. We want to do over that over the next few weeks. So what does athletes give us? Because, I've forgotten your name. Harry? Harry read to us before, sorry. Harry read to us before about, out of Corinthians about an athlete, and Paul used the analogy of this athlete to talk about how we connect with God. So what does that mean, and why is athletics important? Kids doing athletics or some form of sport is really important for their formation, I believe, and there's different reasons for that. The first thing is they learn the value of hard work. I have never met a coach of a sport that says, go out there, be casual, have fun, and it doesn't matter if we win or lose. No. Need hard work, need to practice, need to train to be able to do your very best. Athletics teaches us to learn sacrifice some things. If you want to be good at athletics, if you want to be good at sport, you need to sacrifice some stuff. There's nutritional stuff, there's time stuff, there's spending time with your friends sometimes. There's elements that we need to sacrifice. We need to learn to deal with losses. Our community just doesn't like to talk about losing, but in sport, there's always a winner and a loser. There's someone who loses. And in sport, you will always have a loss. Let's look at the Melbourne Storm. Let's not look at the Melbourne Storm. There will always be a loss, and we need to learn how to deal with loss to be able to understand how to win. We also learn how to set and accomplish goals. It's important to be able to know how to achieve the things we want and how to get there. Because good things don't come immediately. So when Paul looks at athletics and says, you need to be able to train and chase after these things to be more connected with God, then I believe that we need to actually look at that and say, well, how does that work in us? Can I read what Harry read before? Harry? So from 1 Corinthians 9. You do not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in way such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Consistency has never been one of my strong things. It's something that I've had to work on. But consistently is important for us. When we look at the athlete, I want to look at an alternative character, a retired farmer. The retired farmer gets up in the morning and goes out to collect the eggs. So he goes out, walks towards the chicken coop, and as he's walking towards the chicken, he realises the pump's got a leak. And he says, I need to fix the pump. So he says, I've got to go get the seal for the pump that's in the shed. So as he goes to the shed, he realises that the hay loft is out of order. It needs to get cleaned up. So he goes to get the pitchfork, and as he's on the way to get pitchfork, next to the pitchfork's the broom. He's got a broken handle. I need to fix the broom. So he goes off to write a note to go, I need to get a broom handle. Now everybody knows those eggs are not going to get picked up till after his morning cup of tea, is it? We get distracted. We like to have a life that's so flexible and we have a life that's free. But in order to live that life that's free, we often don't get the things done that we need to get done. And there needs to be this balance of putting goals, putting things in front of us to be disciplined in achieving what we need to achieve in order to have the freedom that we want. We need to chase after those disciplines because the disciplines give us a framework of growth and connection. We read out of Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 before. And can I read out of that again, please? Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training of some value, but godliness has a value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and we strive, because we have our hope in the living God, who is the saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. An athlete works hard to excel in a particular sport. And in each sport, each athlete competes differently. Each athlete knows that what they need is different to another sport. If you play football, do you do the same training as a long-distance runner, as someone who plays darts? Surely not. The nutrition is different. The training is different. The weights is different. The running is different. We need to understand what do we want to train for to be able to achieve what we want to achieve. And if we're looking at achieving connection with God, then we need to set ourselves goals and disciplines that are going to help us to connect with God. If we don't choose to put those disciplines in place, we'll never achieve what we want to achieve. We'll never get to the place that we want to be. Now, when I talk about spiritual disciplines, I'm not saying that this is a way to be saved. Because God wants us to walk in relationship with Him. If we connect with God, we've connected with God. Spiritual disciplines don't ensure our entry into heaven. However, they're a way of walking closer to God, becoming more God-like, and to be able to know that relationship with Him. Richard Foster says in his book, Celebration of Discipline, the disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us. The inner righteousness we seek is not something that is poured out on our heads. God has ordained the disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of which we place ourselves where He can bless us. In this regard, it would be proper to speak of the path of discipline, grace. It is grace because it is free. It is discipline because there is something for us to do. Donald Whitney writes, although God will grant Christ's likeness to us when Jesus returns, until then He intends for us to grow toward it. We aren't merely to wait for holiness, we're to pursue it. Spiritual disciplines are like the wire that connect us to the gospel. They're not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. Jesus came, Jesus died for us, Jesus rose again. The gospel is who we are. It's the foundation of who we are. This doesn't replace that. It enhances that. It's like the cords that are plugged into Jesus that gives us the power to live the way that we are to live, to give us the strength and the perseverance that we need to be able to walk through this life. Jesus talks about how our bodies affect how we feel. He talks about money and how if we focus on money, we lose sight of other things. Our focus and what we focus on determines where our heart is. And if we're looking and chasing and pursuing after God, our heart will follow. There's choices that we need to make to become more like God. So what are they? The first thing is I want to look at is some reasons why disciplines are important. So the first thing that makes spiritual disciplines important is that Jesus modeled them. Jesus showed us how to be. Jesus showed us how to pray. He showed us how to read scripture, fasting, submitting, worshipping, practicing community. Jesus showed us the spiritual disciplines of how to become more like the Father, how to live out life. The spiritual disciplines or abiding in Christ is not a passive activity. We can't just expect these things to happen. It's an activity that we need to focus on and work towards. Discipline doesn't just happen. Discipline is a series of choices, a series of activities that we need to pursue and to chase after. Disciplines help us to understand spirituality. It's easy to think that our responsibility as children of God to avoid bad behavior. It's not just about not sinning. It's about becoming more like Jesus. As we chase after God and as we put these disciplines in place, we're actually pursuing and chasing after who we can be in God. Disciplines help us to understand our physicality. We are body, soul, and spirit. The more we try to separate body, soul, and spirit, the more trouble we get in. Our body is connected to our spirit. Our spirit is connected to our soul. Our soul is connected to our body. We are one, even if we're made up of these different things. If we sort of say, well, our spirituality is here, our physicality is here, our soul is here, then we're just going to go around in circles and never achieve anything. We need to understand that we are one through our body, through our spirit, through our soul. And the spiritual disciplines helps us to connect those together. As we make choices to chase after our spirituality, then our body will follow that and our physicality will chase after that. So what are the spiritual disciplines? Well, some would say there's 9 disciplines, some might say there's 11, some might say there's 18, there's all sorts of numbers. So I just thought I'd start now and keep going until I was done. Or we've got 11 of them that we're looking at. So we're going to be looking at them over the few next coming weeks to be able to understand what are these spiritual disciplines that can help us. And a part of what I'd like to challenge you is to say, well, if with each week as we look at a spiritual discipline, what can I do to chase after that to be able to see if that works in that week, how it works for me in that week? What are the spiritual disciplines? Firstly, the Bible prescribes both personal and interpersonal spiritual disciplines. There's things that we do on our own. There's things that we do with others. When Jesus talks about prayer, there's times where he prays on his own. There's times where he prays with the disciples. There's times where he prays in a group. Spiritual disciplines for us, there are some that we need to pursue on our own. There's others that we pursue as a group. We need to explore what that might mean for each of us. The second characteristic of spiritual disciplines are they are activities. There's things that we do. They're not just attitudes. They're not just ways of thinking. They're activities that we put in place to become more like Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. We need to be disciplined to become more like Jesus, more like God. Put in place activities that encourage and empower us to understand God more and be able to chase after what God wants for us. The third description is talking about things that practices are taught or modeled in the Bible. There's lots of things that we can have as disciplines. There's many things we can have as spiritual disciplines, but we want to look at spiritual disciplines that are in the Bible. For some people, gardening might be a spiritual discipline. It might be a way of connecting with God, of resting, getting out of the world of the society and be able to say, where am I? To be able to focus on God, to focus on nature. And that's good, and that's empowering, and it's helpful. But it's not necessarily a spiritual discipline. So we want to look at things that the Bible talks about that encourages us to do to be able to chase after God. The fourth characteristic is found in Scripture, sufficient for knowing and experiencing God and for growing in Christ-likeness. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We want to be able to say that the Bible is core to the spiritual disciplines. Chasing after God comes out of knowing the scriptures more and chasing after what the Bible is talking about and understanding it. So much of the spiritual disciplines around the Bible and what that means to us. The fifth thing is that spiritual disciplines are derived from the gospel, not divorced from the gospel. We don't have just the gospel out there and then we have the spiritual disciplines. Everything is mixed together. Everything is a part of each other. And we need to be able to say our spiritual disciplines come out of what the Bible's saying. It comes out of the gospel of Christ. It enhances what we already know of Jesus. The last characteristics is that they are means and not the ends. So often people are putting the spiritual disciplines as the end. My goal is to know the Bible fully. My goal is to pray 14 hours a day. My goal is. It's a part of a process. The spiritual disciplines empower us to become more like God. It's not a case of saying the goal is in reaching the goal, but there are means to an end. It's a case of saying that as I am chasing after God, as I remain in God and God remains in me, what happens? It's on the wall. We bear much fruit. The ends is how do I become more like God? The ends is how do I reach out to my community? The ends is about how I'm connected with the church and how I'm connected with my brothers and sisters in Christ. How I'm exhibiting Jesus to the community I'm a part of. That's what we're aiming for. That's our ends. Spiritual disciplines are a goal to get there. They're not the goal in itself. And I've got some bad news for you. The physical and spiritual strengths require effort and pain. What I'm promising is not happy, feel good all the time for the next few months. What I'm promising is a challenge. A challenge to be able to put some things in place which empower and encourage us to become more like Jesus. Any sort of fitness takes pain. Any sort of building our muscles and stretching our muscles takes pain. Trust me, I'm an athlete, I know. It takes pain, we accept that. But we don't like it when it's spiritual. We don't like it when it's becoming more like God. But if we're putting in place spiritual disciplines, there's going to be pain involved. There's going to be sacrifice involved. It's going to be stress involved. To become more like Jesus is going to take commitment and it's going to take some decisions to be able to change who we are to become more like Jesus. And we need to embrace that. We need to embrace that there's going to be pain that comes. We're going to embrace that there's going to be sacrifice that needs to be made. There's a verse that may or may not be out of Proverbs. Just as the body cries out for cake when forced to eat broccoli, the flesh screams to give in to indulgence when forced to walk a harder way. Probably not in Proverbs. But isn't that true? Our bodies long for comfort. Our bodies long to be easy. To know the safe path, but anything good comes out of struggle and strain. Anything worth it comes out of commitment and sacrifice. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." We need to put in place good habits. Because I know that there are plenty of bad habits. Bad habits are like so easy. Good habits are hard. For us, for spiritual disciplines, it's good to be able to do a little bit each day rather than doing catch up. Set into place habits that empower us, encourage us, and strengthen us. David Brooks wrote a book called The Road to Character. And he says, "Character is built in the course of your inner confrontation. Character is a set of dispositions, desires, and habits that are slowly engraved through the struggle against your own weakness. You become more disciplined, considerate, and loving through 1,000 small acts of self-control, sharing, service, friendship, and refined enjoyment. If you make disciplined, caring choices, you are slowly engraving certain tendencies into your mind. You're making it more likely that you will desire the right things and execute the right actions." If you make selfish, cruel, or disorganized choices, then you are slowly turning this core thing inside yourself into something that is degraded, inconstant, or fragmented. You can do harm to this core thing with nothing more than ignoble thoughts, even if you are not harming anyone else. You can elevate this core thing with an act of restraint nobody sees, but if you don't develop a coherent character in this way, life will fall to pieces sooner or later. You'll become a slave to your passions, but if you do behave with habitual self-discipline, you'll be constant and dependable. Our goal is to have good habits, to have things in our life that help us, empower us, and encourage us, that strengthen us. And that makes choices. We need to be able to make choices to put that into our lives to create good habits. The amazing thing is that spiritual disciplines both consume and produce willpower. It takes willpower to put spiritual disciplines in place, but the more we practice them, the more willpower we have. I'm not guaranteeing or even promising or even pretending that the first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of putting spiritual disciplines into place is going to be fun and enjoyable. But as we do the spiritual disciplines, we become stronger at it and better at it, and then they give us power and they give us strength. But it takes commitment. It takes a focus on putting them into our place every day to be able to achieve the things that we want to achieve, to become more godlike. So how do we add spiritual discipline into our lives? Well, the first thing is to ask God for help. We can't do it on our own strength. We can make the choice, but we need God to empower that, to strengthen us, to give us the power and the wisdom to be able to do that. So we need to go to God, ask God to help. The second thing is to attempt one life change at a time. So often we say, I've got to be completely different, and it's just too hard and we fall by the wayside. One thing at a time. And that's why I said over the next few weeks we're going to have a different topic each week. Look at that topic each week. See how that works for you. Connect into that and explore how that is. Because the third thing is that we have strengths and weaknesses. For some of us, reading is enjoyable. For some of us, reading is hard work. For some of us, praying is easy. For others, praying is hard work. For others, silence is really awkward. But for some of us, silence is easy. For some of us, fasting is easy. Fasting is not easy. Spiritual disciplines can be difficult, but we are all going to find some easier than others. Does that mean we only focus on the things we're good at? You know the right answer, don't you? We need to build on what we're good at and explore what we're not so good at. We need to enlist the help of our community. Perhaps it's the time of saying to one of our friends, how about we check in each week and see how we're going? What are some goals that I'd like to put in front of me over the next few weeks? What does that look like? Maybe there's someone we want to pray with each week to be able to say, I'll help you, you help me, let's do this together. And the most important thing, accept God's grace when you fail. There's going to be days and weeks that you do really well, and there's going to be days and weeks where not so good. Accept God's grace when we fail. God isn't standing over us with a big stick. God's standing next to us with his arm on our shoulder. God wants the best for us. He doesn't want to hurt us and break us down. He wants to build us up. And as God wants to build us up, we need to walk with him to be able to learn more about him, to be able to walk in what he wants for us. There's some challenges in the weeks ahead, but they're good challenges. They're challenges that push down my physical side and build up my spiritual side. There's times where I'm going to look at who I am and where God wants me to be. There's times in the next few weeks we'll be encouraged, there'll be times where we're disappointed, but we walk in a God of grace, a God of mercy, who wants us to succeed and to become more like him. To close off, I just want to read 1 Timothy 4 again. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and particularly of all believers. Let's pray. Father, you say to abide in you, because you will abide in us, and we will bear much fruit. Father, help us to put in place habits, activities that develop the relationship we have with you. Father, discipline is not easy. It's not always fun. But what we achieve through discipline is great things. Father, you encourage us to train, to chase after you, and ask that you help us to do that. Help us to be proactive in who we are as people, proactive in our relationships, and most importantly, proactive in building our understanding and knowledge of you. Jesus, help us to become more God-like. Father, help us to have the courage, the strength, and the discipline to build good habits into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.